This reading is taken from John 20, 1-10, page 1028 in the Green Bibles. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And just while you're finding that, I wonder if anyone can tell me the meaning of this idiom or phrase that we often use. The wrong end of the stick. The wrong end of the stick. Have you ever heard that phrase? We might say that he or she, someone that we know, no, you've got the wrong end of the stick. Suddenly we use it. No, it's quite hard to kind of tease out what we actually mean. What does that mean, that phrase? Anyone sort of has a guess? Georgina, made a mistake, yeah. I think that's it. We've made a mistake, that there's been a misunderstanding. What you think or perceive is true is actually the opposite of what is really true. You've got the wrong end. You're looking at one end of a stick, as it were. You should be looking at the other end. You've got the meaning upside down, the wrong way round. There's been a mistake. I love this story. It may be slightly apocryphal, but it's a story concerning the campaign of the Duke of Wellington, who fought Napoleon with a coalition of forces on the battlefields now in Belgium, at Waterloo. And in those days, we didn't have texts, and mobile phones, and email. We couldn't dart messages across the world in a nanosecond. So how did the men and women of this country know how the Duke of Wellington had got on in foreign fields? And the answer is they used flagships, ships anchored in the English Channel, just off the coast. They'd receive the news from abroad, and then they'd put up a series of flags, sort of semaphore flags, which would spell out a simple message. And so as the people in their lookout posts along the south coast looked at these flagships, they saw a message going up the mast, and their hearts grew heavy and despondent. They feared for the future, because what they read through the mists and the fog of the English Channel, Wellington defeated. He's lost. Napoleon has won. Oh no. What will this mean for our livelihoods, our families, our descendants? And they went to bed heavy-hearted and despondent. But they got the wrong end of the stick. You see, the next morning, it dawned bright and sunny compared to the fog and the mist of the night before. And as they looked out again at the flagships, they read what the real message was, what the true message was. Wellington defeated the French. They got the wrong end of the stick. It wasn't defeat. It was victory. Have a look at what Mary says in verse 2. I think she's got the wrong end of the stick. She comes running to Simon Peter, having been at the tomb, and she says, "They," whoever they are, "they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." You see, she wasn't anticipating the resurrection. It's hard for us, in a sense, to read this passage with 2,000 years of hindsight. But for them, they weren't anticipating that Jesus would rise. So she assumes that someone, they, have taken the body. And in her shock and grief and mourning, she's understandably distressed, not thinking clearly, not seeing straight. She's got the wrong end of the stick. She's still thinking in terms of defeat here on what we know as Easter Sunday morning. But we know, don't we, that it wasn't defeat. It was victory. I've got a stick down here, and the stick's got a message on it. And the message is the message that maybe the disciples, as they'd fled, and Mary, as she goes to the empty tomb, maybe this is the message on the stick that she concludes is true. That the Roman authorities have had their grim and gory way. And that her beloved son and their friend and leader, their inspiration, their hope, well, his life has been snuffed out too early. A torturous death on a cross. He's dead and buried, and there's a Roman guard that have been posted. It's the end. Jesus' life over. And evil has won. But that is the wrong end of the stick. It's a misunderstanding. It isn't true. Let's turn the stick over so that we get the true message and implication of Easter. Death hasn't won. Jesus has won. He's conquered death. He's risen from the grave. And the power that raised Jesus to new life is exactly the same power, Paul writes, that we can have in us by God's Spirit. The power that raised Jesus is the power that raises us, in a sense, to new life. As we die with him, we will live with him. The message of Easter isn't that evil won. The message of Easter isn't hopeless. The message of Easter is hopeful. Now live. Death used to have the final say on life. Now Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, the living Lord Jesus, he has the final say on life. He vindicates life, yours and mine, as he lives in you and I. The message of Easter is not that evil won. The message of Easter is now live. Live in his power. Live in his hope. Live in his life. For his glory. And for the sake of those who don't yet know him, in Jesus' name, amen.